Good morning. I'm going to be looking at the first three verses this morning. Just the first three verses, but they are absolutely crucial verses. I might as well just say before I go on, just so I'm not struck by lightning, that the sermon I'm preaching, I borrowed largely from a sermon that was preached in 1841 by a man called William Gadsby. You might have heard of the Gadsby hymn book. It's considered one of the most important sermons ever preached in England. So what I'm going to say this morning is that important. And I'm not even embarrassed to say I borrowed his theme. All right. Verses 1 to 3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Wow, it's serious stuff. So let's pray together. Help me this morning, Father God. I know I stand under the light of your all-knowing glory. And therefore I pray that I preach faithfully, as I know I must. And I pray, Lord, that you give your children ears to hear. I pray for those who do not as yet hear, that even this morning the light will be turned on. For Christ's sake, amen. Now here is a very important passage of Scripture. Here we're clearly being told what is and what is not true Christianity. And it is essential, if you hope to go to heaven, to understand what we read here today. It's that important. In verse 1 we're told that we must not believe every spirit. Now let me explain. By spirit he means the message and the messenger. Okay, do not believe everybody, or don't believe everything that claims to speak for God. We must be, in a positively spiritual way, skeptical. We must be skeptical. Why must we be skeptical? Well, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. False prophets. Now, false prophets aren't obvious crazies, okay? False prophets are people who masquerade as Christian messengers. This is the inspired word of God we read this morning. And if these words fail to make you sit up and say, whoa, then I suggest maybe you don't understand what I've just read. Or maybe you don't really believe it. Jesus tells us here that there are many religious con men, charlatans, false teachers. All hallelujah, praise Jesus, but they're not from God. That is what the inspired word is saying here. And many of them have gone out. And we're told in the light of this truth, not to be easily taken in. Don't just believe everything that people tell you about God. Be skeptical in this regard. But how? I mean, what are we supposed to do in this regard? How can we not be taken in by false teachers? Well, we're told in verse 1 what we got to do. We have to test the spirits. All messages from God need to be tested to see if they are genuinely true or not. We're told to test the spirits. But how? I mean, let's face it, sometimes false teachers can be very convincing, can't they? The ones I've met have taken me in. They can be very subtle. And you may not be very well known in your theology. You may not know all the technicalities. In fact, you may not know your Bible very well. So how can we test whether spirits are from God or not? How? Well, today we're given very clear instructions. And if you're a genuine Christian today, by the end of this, you ought to be able to test and distinguish every true from false messenger and every true from false message. It's simple, but I realize the Spirit's got to be with you as I say this. But I pray you hear what I'm going to say, because it's important in these days. Look at verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. This is how you can know true from false Christianity. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Verse 3. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. It's a simple dichotomy. And here it is, plain and simple. Every true messenger of Jesus Christ will acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Are you all with me so far? Now, you may be thinking, but hold on a minute. Is that it? I mean, all religions teach that Jesus came in the flesh, don't they? The Jehovah's Witnesses teach it. They teach that Jesus came in the flesh. It's written in the Quran that Jesus came in the flesh. So how can this be the crucial acid test of true Christianity? And it's here that I need to be a bit technical this morning, but you need a bit of the original language to fully understand what John is saying here. And if you're dependent on the English version alone, what we read might just slip over your head. So in order to make you understand clearer what John is saying, I'm going to do a bit of paperwork, okay? But bear with me, because this is really important. Oh, somewhere I've got a pen. There we are. Now, he came. I don't know if you can see this at the back. He came. Jesus came. Remember, true prophets teach that Jesus came in the flesh. The original language. Elthen. He came. Third person singular. Okay, past tense. He came. But that is not what we read in our text. We don't read that Jesus came. We read this. We read the same word, he came, but in what's known as the past perfect tense participle. Now you may say, why are you giving me this? This is crucial. It's saying that Jesus Christ has come absolutely in a perfected sense. He didn't just come, he came and he finished what he came to do. Jesus, when he came in the flesh, did it all. Christianity preaches a complete and finished work of God. It's not just that Jesus came with hope. He came past perfect participle. He came in a way that sewed up completely, in a continuous sense, what he did. When Jesus died, he achieved his goal. Do you all get that? True Christianity does not just say Jesus came to earth. It says he has come in the flesh. In fact, just for interest's sake, there's another time in the Bible when Jesus says this. The word telos means finish, end, complete. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, tetelestai, it has been perfect finished. This is true Christianity. Christ came and he finished his job when he came. John says here that this is how you can test and prove a true messenger of God. The true messenger of God will say, Christ has come and Christ has done it all. Tetelestai. He didn't just come, Elthen. He eleleutherta. I'm not pronouncing that right, but he came and he did it. Right, you got that. Now, you would say, oh, come on, you're splitting hairs this morning. Let me give you three examples of false teaching. Okay? When I first got saved, I was in a Roman Catholic church. I'd heard the gospel, and I know God hit me. And I went to my priest, Father O'Neill. And I said to him, Father, I'm born again, I'm saved. I've given my life to Jesus and I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. I thought he'd pat me on the back. But he said, no. He said, oh no, it's not as simple as that. Jesus died for you. He came. Eilthen, he came. But he didn't finish the job. You've got to do that. You've got to be in the right church. You've got to take the sacraments. You've got to confess your sins. You've got to live a disciplined life for God. Yes, Jesus came, but you've got to finish it. You're not saved unless you do your bit. So it's not that Jesus has come and sewn it up and sat down at the right hand of God and done it. The Catholics taught he came and he threw the dice so you can play on the board, but now you've got to finish the game. Do you get it? Let me give you another example. I spoke once to a Pentecostal friend, and I love Pentecostals. I'm not criticizing them in many ways. But I said to him, I'm complete in Jesus Christ. You know, Colossians chapter 2. And he said, oh, no, no, you're not complete. You're not complete unless hands have been laid upon you and you're filled with the Spirit and you speak in tongues. You're only half a Christian. You're only half baked unless you finish the job and get yourself baptized in the Spirit. So hold on. Jesus came, but he didn't finish the job because I've still got to get out there and get particular experience. What? Here's another one. an evangelical one. I heard a guy preaching to the unsaved, and he said this: Jesus died for you. Yes, the blood of God was spilt, but he can't save you unless you let him into your heart. What do those three examples have in common? Jesus came, but he didn't come completely. He can't save you unless you do your part and sew it up. Jesus only offers. He doesn't achieve. They had a word for this in the Reformation. They called it works righteousness. Not the righteousness of the cross, the completed work of Christ. They will say, Jesus doesn't actually save anybody by the cross. The cross just makes salvation possible. But you've got to apply the last little 5% and do that for yourself. The cross doesn't save. It's only potential salvation that's offered. It's a maybe. Yes, Jesus died, but he came. But the story's not over till the fat lady sings. And you, the fat lady, you've got to get up and do it. Jesus, they say, is not the Savior, but listen, a potential, possible Savior. And what they say is, real saving power is in you. Your obedience, your repentance, your commitment is the actual salvific power that trips the switch and makes you saved. Jesus came, they say. But it's not that Jesus has past perfect complete. You see why I had to write that, to see the subtle difference? And there's a world of difference beside it. John doesn't mince his words here. He says, this is the spirit of Antichrist. Antichristos, substitute Christ. So please be careful. The true message of Jesus Christ will always be the preaching of the completed work of Christ. Christ has come. Eleuthota, not merely elthen. Past, perfect, participle. Ongoing, continuous benefit from what happened at the beginning. It is finished, Jesus said. Now, you may say, well, why do we need to know this? Why do I have to teach that Jesus has sewn it all up and sat down at the right hand? It's over. And everyone who's going to be saved is saved in time. Why do I have to believe that? This was Martin Luther's argument. Please hear me. Because many false prophets have given us a very subtly different gospel. What is faith? Remember, faith saves you? You know that, don't you? You're saved by your faith. Faith is unseen confidence in a certainty. Unseen confidence in a certainty. Faith must have a substance, a hypostasis. Now, if I say to you, as you walk out the door, because you put up with my preaching, I'm going to give you all £10 as you walk out, I promise you, maybe. Can you put faith in that statement? Why? You can't put faith in a maybe, people. You can't put faith in a potentiality or a hypothetic possibility. You have to put your faith in a certainty. That faith is the evidence of things. The substance of. You've got to put your faith in something that's absolutely cut, dried and certain. There's no faith unless Christ has come. come in the flesh. And you deceive yourself, and your faith is in your own works if you believe he just came, but you're doing your bit. Please know this. This is what John is saying here. And this is how you can know at the end of the day, true from false preaching. True Christianity must be anchored upon a finished, substantiated certainty. I know whom I have believed. And this is the test you must give to everyone that preaches in this church. If they preach Jesus and then they end, oh yeah, but Jesus died, but now you, listen, this is what you've got to do to make this clinch. Don't listen. There's no faith in possibility. There's faith in the completed work of Christ. Let's just pray. Oh Father, I thank you for your holy word, and I pray that those who would receive it will receive it. And I pray, Lord, that we will know in this world of religious confusion what the real gospel is. And I thank you, Christ, that when you died on the cross, we died with you. We rose with you. We are seated with you in the heavenlies. It is finished. And my faith is based on that. Father, may that be the message of Christ in this church. That Christ has come. Amen.